So the Bible is a big book, and the Bible uses images and analogies and stories so that common, uneducated, ordinary folk, even children, can understand its message. And this is really no less true when it comes to the nature of the Christian church. You will find in Scripture, you will find many images that the Bible uses to help us understand the nature of the church, what it is all about, what we're supposed to be doing as we gather here on Sunday mornings. And this particular morning, because we are a growing church, we praise the Lord for that, we're thankful for that, and because really, no matter how long you've been a part of Grace Community Bible Church, a part of the Christian church at large, it's always good to be reminded of what we are all about as the church, what God has called us to, our essential nature. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to focus on one of those images that we see, that we read about in the Bible. And we're going to see that image. Actually, we've already seen that image through the scripture reading. So turn back there with me if you're not there already. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, page 1149, if you are borrowing a Bible. As you're turning there, I want to say at the outset that we're not going to be able to cover all of the detail in this passage. Okay, just putting that out there. So, Pastor Dan, you didn't say this, you didn't say this. We're not going to cover all of the detail. But what we do cover, and in fact, this passage, it deserves multiple sermons. And maybe someday we'll get to going verse by verse through this book. But I want us to look at this passage because I believe it is so relevant. It is so pertinent for where we are at as a church right now, today. It's like I wouldn't emphasize what Paul emphasizes in a year from now. There are points that he makes that are relevant for our church here today. So let us refocus our minds on this text, and let me read, and you follow along, in verse 12. For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. and our less presentable members become much more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to the member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. And now you are Christ's body, and individually members of it. Let me stop reading there. Here is the truth that I want to get across today. This is the main idea, the big point, the sermon in a nutshell. Here is what I want you to hear. The body has members who are important. The body, the church, has members who are important. And if you think about that statement, it really breaks into two separate ideas, two parts. Number one, the body has members. And number two, each member is important. And so what I want to do today is I want to unpack each of those parts. And each of those parts is actually aimed at two categories of people that are here this morning. The two categories of people that are here are members and non-members. Members and non-members. And so how does the body has members and each member is important? How does that apply to each category? Well, here's how. Let's unpack this first truth. The body has members. The church has members. Now, as I said, the image that is used here for the church is that of the body. It's used several times in this passage. And here's the key that Paul is trying to get across. Here's the key. If you are a Christian, if you claim to follow Jesus, you are a member of the body, the church. Look what he says in verse 27. He says, this is his concluding comment to what we read. He says, now you, and we could supply Christian, are Christ's body and individually members of it. That's not the only time Paul uses this language of member and body for the Christian being a member of the body. Just look at verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. Now this image, as I said earlier, it's easy to grasp. It's easy to understand. We understand what Paul is saying here because he's using this image of a body. Just like our human body has many members. Eyes and nose and ears and on and on and on. So the church, the body of Christ, has many members. The body has members. That's what Paul is saying. Now the question is, one of the questions that we see here that is answered from this text, it's a very key question, and that is this. The body has members, so the question is, how do I become a member of the body? How do you become a member of the body? Well, with our human bodies, the way I understand it, the way science tells us it works, the way we understand it is a body is formed, shaped, fashioned in a womb. And each of those members sort of come together over that 9-month process, and by the end, you have members of a body. You have one body that functions accordingly. But spiritually, You are not born into the church in that same way. It's not a process like that. The way you get into the church is through Spirit baptism. That's how you become a member of the body. You are baptized in the Spirit into the church. Look what Paul says in verse 12. He makes this clear. He says, "For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ." And here is his explanation of that verse. Here is how you become a member of the one body. "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of the one Spirit." So what is being taught here is that when you become a Christian, when you became a Christian, when you, if you are not a Christian, when you someday, if you become a Christian, at that moment you are baptized in the Spirit into the church. And we could call this church the universal church. It's the church throughout all of the globe of all time, the universal church. This is true for every Christian. Every Christian has been baptized into the Spirit, into the church. This baptism here, it's not a second baptism that you receive subsequent to your becoming a believer. This baptism here is not a second blessing that you need to seek for yourself. And God's going to bless you sometime later, and then you're going to get the Spirit. This baptism here is not water baptism. This baptism here is the gift of the Spirit that all Christians receive upon that moment you become a believer. And this, Paul says, is what makes us one. We have one Spirit. The Spirit is in each one of us, and He makes us one body together, that living Spirit. So this here is one-time Spirit baptism. That's what this is. And this is a glorious thing, that when we become a believer, it's what Paul's communicating here, we have received the Spirit into our lives, and He has made us one body. Now, having said that, Paul is writing, as you know, he's writing to a specific church, the church at Corinth. And the church at Corinth, what it is a manifestation. It is the flesh and blood reality of the universal church. What do I mean by that? Let me explain this to you. The Bible distinguishes between a universal church and a local church. Now, there's not two churches, there's one church. The Bible distinguishes between these two, but it never separates them. There's a distinguishment, but no separation between the church. And so, to use Paul's analogy, to use the image of the body, just like we have a physical body and a spiritual body, if you will, we have a physical side and a spiritual side, so does the church. The church has an invisible or spiritual side, the universal church, which is made up of all true believers across the world, and the church, like a body, has a physical side. The flesh and blood local church that we have here, that we see, look around and we see, not this building, but you and me. And so the question is, how do you get into the local church? I mean, we already discovered how we are brought into, how we become members of the universal church. The question is how do we become members of the local church? Well, here is where the Bible is not explicit in its instruction to us about how we become members of a local church. And so we're left with principles and inferences that we can draw to give us guidance about church membership. And here's the reason why. I've always wondered why, Lord, you didn't give more clear commands about this. Here's God's wisdom in this. It's because the local church, the visible church, exists in a particular place in a particular time. And so the way our church, Grace Community Bible Church, does church membership looks a lot different from the way they do it in Daru, Sierra Leone. Our brother there, our partner there, my partner with my mission, Pastor Musa, pastors a church called The Way Church. The Way. It's taken from Acts. And Musa, in his church, in The Way Church, they have members. They have members of the visible church that meets in Daru. But I want to say that the process that Musa uses does not look like the process we use here. He doesn't have a membership class and an interview and all these things that we do to become a member here. And here's the reason why. The reason why is because of the time and place where their church meets. And so every member of Musa's church literally walks to church. They do not drive. They do not own cars. No one does. And so all of the members live within a 1-2 mile radius of the church. And so if you are a Christian in a 99% Muslim dominated area, if you name the name of Christ, you go to the Way Church. That's your church. They know who you are. They know who the members are and who they aren't. It's very, very clear. Now here at Grace Community Bible Church, I was thinking about this. Now I think we have maybe 1 or 2 members that literally can walk here. But the rest of you drove here this morning. You drove to church. And here's the thing. You could have been driving to Grace Community Bible Church and you could have passed another church and you could have said, you know what? I think I'm just going to stop here and go to church here today instead of at Grace Community Bible Church. You could have done that. That could have been a reality for you. And so here, we have to have a clear process of knowing who is a member and who is not a member. My point is, this is the point, is that local church membership is biblical, even if the exact specific process is not outlined in explicit language for us. It's biblical. Because the Bible never separates the universal church from the local church. If you are a Christian, you must be part of, you must be a member of, however that membership works out, but you must be a member of a local church. Now let me be clear what I'm saying. Let me bring this together. Any person who walks through those doors, any visitor, Any, we could say, non-member. We have non-members and members. Any non-member who walks through those doors, you know what we want to do? You know what you want to do as a member of this church? You want to share the truth with them. You want them to know and understand the gospel. You want them to embrace the gospel. And not only that, you want them to experience love like they have never experienced before. This is amazing, this thing called the Christian church. They love one another even despite all their differences and failures. That's what we want. That's what we want. It doesn't matter. Listen, it doesn't matter a person's ethnicity. It doesn't matter their social status. It doesn't matter their political affiliation or ideology. It doesn't even matter their religion. They walk into those doors, and we want them to hear the gospel, and we want to love on them like they've never experienced love before. That's what we want here. And when a person, maybe a person who comes here and has never heard or is confused, and they become a Christian, at that moment, what happens? What happens to them when they become a believer? We've already said, they are baptized. They receive the Spirit, baptized into the church, the universal church. And that invisible universal church is made up of a visible flesh and blood people in local assemblies, in a place and in a time. Christians become members of a local church. This local church here at Grace Community Bible Church, this church has definition and boundaries. And you want to know how or why that's the case? It's because we have membership. Without membership, you do not have a local church. You don't have it. However membership is done, however that works out in that context in which you're in. That's why I say that the body has members. The body has members. What we do here at Grace Community Bible Church, our operations, our nature, our structure, it all depends upon church membership, both church membership in the universal church and church membership here in this local church. So here's what I'm saying. Let me just be direct, as much as I can be here in Minnesota. If you are not a member of Grace Community Bible Church, my plea to you is become a member of Grace Community Bible Church. And listen, it's not about GCBC. If the Lord does not want you here, we don't want you here. We want what the Lord wants. So if the Lord wants you somewhere else, great, go to that other church and become a member there. But the point is, become a member of this local church or some local church, and sooner rather than later. That is my plea to you. Become a member of the local church. Why? Because the body has members. It's Paul's point. Body has members. And once you become a member of the universal church and local church, God, through Paul, has a word for you. And this is the second part of the main idea. The body has members who are important. Here is God's word for you, brothers and sisters, members of Grace Community Bible Church. Here is God's word for you today from his word. You are important. You really are. You really are, and I just don't want you to hear that like you're hearing it from me. I want you to hear it like you're hearing it from God Almighty. And why? Why are you important? Why am I important as a member here? Well, we see at least two reasons Paul gives here in this text. First, you and I are important because you have a role to play. You are important here because you have a role to play. Look what he says in verse 15. He says, if the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? So members, you are important. Paul is so helpful here. You are important. And what does he say? What does he say? He says, what kind of body would it be if the body were an ear? If you were seeing me here today and all you saw was my right ear, a big gigantic ear somehow speaking to you, you would all flee out of here very fast. You would. Or if you saw a big giant nose or head or whatever, right? That would not be a body. That would be a monster. No, each member is important because each member serves a role. Just like our eyes and our ears and our mouths and on and on and on. So we need sermons to be preached. We need doors to be locked. We need youth events to be led. We need all these things. We need all these things. So brothers, sisters, members of Grace Community Bible Church, listen, you are important. Don't think for a minute, I'll admit to you, I have done this, and if I have done this, you surely have done this. I have done this as a pastor. I have thought, I'm not that important here. That's not right thinking. Do not think that you are not important. Do not think, I'm only an eye, I'm only an ear, I'm only an appendix. What role do I play? No, you have a role. You really do. You have a role that you are meant to fulfill here in this church. You are important because you have a role. And secondly, the second reason why you are important is because you are needed. You are needed. In fact, we need you. I need you. You need me. We need each other. That's the point. Look what Paul says in this very next section, verse 21. He says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the parts of the body which seem to be weaker are what? They're necessary. They're needed. And those parts of the body which we consider less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our less presentable parts become more presentable. And he goes on in verse 26, if one part of the body suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts rejoice with it. I remember, I don't know if I've told this story before. After you preach for several years, you tend to repeat some of the stories you tell. But I remember when I was 9 or 10, I was at my relatives in Missouri, And they live on a farm, and we were riding four-wheelers. And I was riding a four-wheeler, and I started to build up confidence in driving that four-wheeler, and I started to go really, really fast. And I did not see, we were riding through the woods, which is not very smart, probably on a four-wheeler, unless there's a very well-paved trail, there wasn't. And I did not see a stump, that a tree had been cut down and there was a stump. So I hit that stump, and my brother and I, he was hanging on the back of me for dear life. We flipped off that thing as fast as popcorn pops in the microwave. I mean, we just, and I, what happened is I landed on my thumb, and I broke it. And I did not realize that my thumb, though a very seemingly insignificant member of my body, I did not realize until I broke it how important my thumb was. Because what we were doing at my cousin's, we were at her cousin's and we only saw him like twice a year. And what we were doing is we were doing what all 9 and 10 year olds do, run around, expend the energy, play tag. And so I was running and I was chasing them. And as I was running doing this, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it because when I did this, that motion caused my thumb and literally then my whole body to ache. That member was so important. I needed my thumb. I need my thumb. You get the point. The point is that we need each other, just like we need the eyes and ears and mouth and on in our body. The members, we could say, the members, you and I here at Grace Community Bible Church, we are interrelated. We are members of a body. And so what does Paul say? He says, if one member suffers, like a thumb, the whole body suffers with it. If one member is honored, the whole body rejoices with it. And so here is the bottom line. Here's what Paul is telling us. He is telling us that you, each one of you, member of Grace Community Bible Church, he's saying, you are important. And listen, it's not because I say you're important. I could come up to you individually and I could say, you're important here. Maybe you're thinking about leaving the church, for example. Or maybe you're discouraged about fitting in and you just don't fit in very well. You're not connecting very well. You don't know where to serve. And so I come up to you and I say, you're important. And I say that to encourage you. And it'd be true. Or I could tell you, you're important, not because you're really feeling down, but because you really need your ego to be struck a little bit. And so I could flatter you a little bit. Now, of course, I wouldn't do that, right? But I could, right? Or even worse, I could say you're important to manipulate you, to get you to do something that I want you to do here. I mean, that could happen, right? Now, I'm not going to do that. I hope I don't do that, right? Right? But that could happen. But listen, here's the point. You're important not because I say so, but because God says so. Look what he says. Look what God says in verse 18. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. It is no accident. It is no accident that you are a member here, specifically here at this church. You are important. You really, really are because of what God says through the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 12. I don't know how else to communicate it to you. I need the Spirit to impress this on your heart, that you would really feel this and know this and embrace your importance here as a member. Now, this message has been geared, as I said at the beginning, it's been geared to two categories of people, members and non-members. But there actually is potentially a third category here this morning. And that is a person who is not a member of the universal church. You're not a believer. You have not been baptized by the Spirit into the church, so you're not a member of the universal church, nor can you be a member of this local church. But listen, if you've been coming here any length of time, the good news that we preach here is that you can become a member of Christ Church. You can. How? All you simply do is you renounce, you forsake your own way, your own way of achieving salvation, your own religion and tradition, and your own sin. You forsake it, and you turn to Jesus Christ, and you embrace him as the only hope for your condemned soul. And at that moment, you will be baptized by the Spirit. You will become a member of the body. And then, when that happens, hopefully, Lord willing, second group of people, you become a member of Grace Community Bible Church. So let me speak to those of you who are not members here at this church yet. My prayer has been that this message is the catalyst to help you take the next step. I just want you to take the next step in membership here at Grace Community Bible Church, because you've seen now it's so important. And so let me give you three easy steps. Let me lay these out for you very clearly so you know what the next step is for you. First, this is if you're not a member. First, decide if Grace Community Bible Church is where you are going to be a member. Now, I've said it before and I'm going to say it again here. What I tell people who are visiting our church, non-members, is to attend, get involved as much as you can for 6 consecutive weeks, and then make a decision. And the reason I say 6 consecutive weeks is because there could be times when the senior pastor has to quarantine, like happened recently here. Or he could be on sabbatical or whatever the case, right? You get a feel for after 6, 7, 8 weeks, you get a feel for what a church is about. You'll get a feel for what we are about. So first step, make a decision or make at least a tentative decision. Yeah, I think that's where the Lord wants me. And then second, it just kind of falls into place from there, but I want to outline it for you. I want to make it clear for you so you know, so you have no question. You can certainly ask questions if you have them. But the next step is to attend the church membership class, which is on June 19th. Write that down if you're in your notes if you're not a member and you haven't been to the class yet. June 19th. And the reason why I want you to write that down is because we only do the class twice a year. So if you miss it on the 19th, it's not going to be till the snow's flying again when you have the other class. So please make plans to come to the membership class. Third and finally, if you've attended the class, and some of you have, but you're not yet members, if you have attended that class, your next step is to turn in your membership application to our administrative assistant, Ursula, or to one of the pastors. turn in that membership application, and then that's it. We'll sort of take it from there. We'll schedule an interview with you, and then the rest is sort of easy peasy. So what's your next step, friends? What is it? Is it decide? Is that the next step you need to make? Make that step. Is it come to the class on the 19th? Make that step. Is it turn in your application? Please make that step. Please make that step. And finally, let me speak to the vast majority of you who are members here at Grace Community Bible Church. As I was thinking about this, thinking about a message on the church, in the last year, we have, as a church, we have gone through a lot of change. We have. Now, if you've been here a while, you know it, you see it. If you're newer, you maybe not can see it so much. And this change has been brought about primarily by two things. Number one, COVID. Now, COVID, all I'm going to say is COVID is what it is. I mean, we have done our best, you have done your best to manage COVID, to deal with COVID as best as we can with the principles from God's word as we can. We've done our best. That's all I'm going to say about COVID. But that's brought a lot of change, a lot of difficulty, a lot of hardship to our body. And the second big change that we've experienced in this last year is what you see here, this beautiful building we're in. And with a building, it just brings a whole new feel, doesn't it? It just brings a new feel to the church. But listen, I want to speak to you as one of the pastors. Brothers and sisters, you have been here for many, many years. The core of Grace Community Bible Church has not changed one bit. We are still going to preach God's word faithfully as best as we can, and we still want to love people like they've never experienced love before. That core hasn't changed. But with the change of a new building, with the change of new people coming in, little changes happen, and little changes are good. Change is not necessarily a bad thing. It's a good thing. We want to change as believers, don't we? We want to change to be more and more like Jesus. And so as we change to be more in line with the Word of God, we say amen to that. And as we do change for the better, you know what? I'm telling you what, I've never been more excited about Grace Community Bible Church. And I know I speak on behalf of my other fellow pastors when I say that. We have never been more excited for this church. There is something going on here. You know what it is? The Spirit is here. The Spirit is here. He is speaking through the preaching. He is working through your ministries that you have, that you embrace. And so I want to remind you again this morning, if I could, I would love to take time and we could spend the next hour and I could go just person by person, row by row, and look at you directly and say, you are important. But I can't do that. We don't have time for that. But I want you to hear the words, you are important, from the Lord. I want you to hear them as you've never heard them before, from the Lord, from this text. Because the reality is, you are important. You are needed. You members of Grace Community Bible Church, you are so valuable here. I need you, and we need one another because we are members of a body. The body we call Grace Community Bible Church. Amen? Amen. Let's